Hey everyone, you're listening to Yap Snacks, a series of bite-sized content hosted by me, Hala Taha. Today we're diving into an activity that is disliked by many, public speaking. Now, if me just saying public speaking triggers some nervousness, you're not alone. It's estimated that as much as 73% of the population struggles with the fear of public speaking to a certain degree. That means that 238 million people feel nervous about talking to others. In fact, according to the Washington Post, fear of public speaking is America's biggest phobia, and 25% of people say that they fear speaking in front of a crowd. So to any of my listeners out there that have a fear of public speaking or a fear of being judged, trust me, you're not alone. And with that being said, it's time to change all of this. So let's get into it. Here are my top five ways to drastically improve your public speaking. Number one, know your audience. The first step to success when public speaking is knowing and connecting to your audience. Think about what they want to hear. Just like in marketing, where you need to understand your customer first, in order to meet your audience's wants and needs in public speaking, first, you need to understand who your audience is. What problems do they hope to solve? Your audience needs to have a reason to listen, and in order to figure out that reason, think about the types of people that will be listening to your speech. Think about their backgrounds. Think about their age. Think about the experiences they may have. What are some of the things that they all have in common? This will help you determine your choice of words, how much detail you'll go into, and ultimately how you will organize your speech or presentation. Focus on relating to your listeners rather than just relaying your message. Once you give them what they want and need, they'll feel connected with what you're saying and be much more interested. When thinking about connecting with the audience, I go back to episode number 53, where I talked to Lila Smith, who's a professional speaker and coach, and she gave some great advice on grabbing your audience and pulling them in if they seem disinterested. So let's say we are speaking to a group and we notice that there's crossed arms, wandering eyes, people are fidgeting, maybe a yawn or two. What do we do then? How do we turn it around?
Pivot. Pivot. Pick a different verb. Ask yourself, am I exciting them right now? And maybe you know, if you can, pivot your content. It could be your content or it could be just your engagement. It could be how connective you are. It could be that they need to feel something else in order to be compelled to listen. So disrupt them. Make a big, you know, physical gesture just to grab their attention, get them back in, and then change your verb. So just now, I moved into to mobilize, and you can hear a difference in my voice. You know, just in case people had been kind of going, I don't know, maybe I'll listen to the rest of this later. Now I am in mobilize mode. I'm going, if people are listening to this right now, I need you to take action. I need you to think about the way that you're communicating and decide that you can do better, that you don't have to be, you know, lazy about it, that you can do something yourself to be accountable for.
Number two, tell stories. Telling stories while public speaking is key, especially if you are the one that hates speaking in front of people. Think about it. Telling a story and sharing an experience you've had is way more comfortable than going through a slide deck. It comes naturally to you. It's easy to remember and share. Not to mention, it provides structure to your speech. Starting off telling a story is a perfect way to get your speech going. And while it will help you, the speaker, it's also a great way to get your audience engaged and listening. First, think about the main point you're trying to make in your speech. Then think about a personal experience or something in your life that's happened that relates to some of the points you're trying to make. Being able to express emotion and something personal during your speech ensures success and gets your audience interested early on. Also, wrapping up with a speech with an afterthought on your opening story is a nice way to bring the experience full circle while providing a satisfying close for your audience. Now, I can't even talk about storytelling without bringing up one of the best storytellers I've ever witnessed, Eric Edmides. I love his storytelling and public speaking abilities. I've had him on Yap a while back during episode number 58, and he believes that storytelling is one of the best ways to learn because stories speak directly to the nervous system.
When we hear a story, what's really fascinating about our nervous system is that our nervous system actually can't tell the difference sometimes between fantasy and reality. Here's an example. If I were to say to you right now, you have to salivate right now. You've got to salivate. You can't. You just can't do that. Or if I said, to you, you got to make your heart beat faster right now. You can't. There are certain things that are not consciously within your control. If I told you to breathe faster, you could. That's consciously in your control. But is it conceivable? Is it possible that I could tell you a story that would make you salivate?
Yeah.
Or a story that would make your heart race and your skin flush, right? So a story can speak directly to the nervous system.
His biggest tip when it comes to telling a story is details. Details make a story. If you want your audience to feel something, you have to also feel something during that story in order for it to happen. If you want to tell a story that's going to trigger feelings of sadness, you have to feel sad while you're telling that story.
When it gets into the actual storytelling, the best thing I can tell you is this: details make a story. A story that has the fleshed out details is real to the audience. And this is really important. If you ever want your audience to feel, then you have to feel. Whatever you want the audience to feel, you have to feel. So if you're going to tell a story that you believe should trigger feelings of sadness in them, then you need to be sad.
Yeah.
If you want to trigger a feeling of joy and victory, then you need to feel those feelings of joy and victory.
Eric gives a great tip about using a story journal to prepare you before you go make your speeches so that you can just pull from your story journal when it's relevant. I actually implemented this trick when I first started going on podcasts. I was super nervous to be on the other side of the mic being interviewed by other podcasters. And for a period of time, I was getting inundated with podcast requests and I wasn't prepared at all. I didn't know what my stories were. I felt very jumbled. I felt like I didn't have a clear objective that I wanted to get across during these interviews. And so I created this story journal and it's one of the best things I ever decided to do.
At Speaker Nation, where we teach public speaking and coach people in public speaking, one of the things that we teach all of our clients to have is a story journal. So what that means is whenever something happens in your life, you open up a page of your journal and you just take notes about it. You don't write the whole story out, and I'll come to that in a minute, but you just take down some bullet points. You go, oh yeah, there was the time that this happened and I was in Paris and blah, blah, blah. And you just write down some bullet points. And I often like to make a note in the top corner, roughly how long I think it takes to tell that story. Mm-hmm. And then in the bottom of the page, I like to make a note about, like, tags. We'd call them hashtags today. Like what the topics of that story are: sales or influence or rapport or mountain climbing or whatever they might be. And what that means now is, let's say you ask me, you book me to come and speak at some conference, I can take out my story journal and I can just leaf through it and just the bottom of the page, and I can find all, like, say you ask me to speak for 30 minutes on sales. I just go sales, and pick all my sales stories. Now, of course, I'm using a very old school methodology here, because the truth is, I teach people to do it that way first, and then I show them how to put it in Evernote or OneNote because it's even better.
Young and Profiters, we are all making money. But is your money hustling for you? Meaning, are you investing? Putting your savings in the bank is just doing you a total disservice. You got to beat inflation. I've been investing heavily for years. I've got an E-Trade account. I've got a Robinhood account. And it used to be such a pain to manage all of my accounts. I'd hop from platform to platform. I'd always forget my Fidelity password, and then I have to reset my password. I knew that needed to change because I need to keep track of all my stuff. Everything got better once I started using Yahoo Finance, the sponsor of today's episode. You can securely link up all of your investment accounts in Yahoo Finance for one unified view of your wealth. They've got stock analyst ratings. They have independent research. I can customize charts and choose what metrics I want to display for all my stocks, so I can make the best decisions. I can even dig into financial statements and balance sheets of the companies that I'm curious about. Whether you're a seasoned investor or looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hey, Yap Fam, starting my LinkedIn Secrets Masterclass was one of the best things I've ever done for my business. I didn't have to waste time figuring out all the nuts and bolts of setting up a website that had everything I needed, like a way to buy my course, subscription offerings, chat functionality, and so on, because it was super easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your first product, finally taking your side hustle full-time, or making $500,000 from your masterclass like me. And it doesn't matter if you're selling digital products or vegan cosmetics. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered as you scale. Stop those online window shoppers in their tracks and turn them into loyal customers with the internet's best converting checkout. I'm talking 36% better on average compared to other options out there. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from huge shoe brands like Allbirds to vegan cosmetic brands like Thrive Cosmetics. Actually, back on episode 253, I interviewed the CEO and founder of Thrive Cosmetics, Carissa Bodnar, and she told me about how she set up her store with Shopify and it was so plug and play, her store exploded right away. Even for a makeup artist type girl with no coding skills, it was easy for her to open up a shop and start her dream job as an entrepreneur. That was nearly a decade ago. And now it's even easier to sell more with less thanks to AI tools like Shopify Magic. And you never have to worry about figuring it out on your own. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, so you can focus on the important stuff, the stuff you like to do. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/profiting, and that's all lowercase. If you want to start that side hustle you've always dreamed of, if you want to start that business you can't stop thinking about, if you have a great idea, what are you waiting for? Start your store on Shopify. Go to shopify.com/profiting now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's shopify.com/profiting. Shopify.com/profiting for a $1 per month trial period. Again, that's shopify.com/profiting. Eric is absolutely incredible at public speaking, and this episode is definitely worth checking out if you want to improve your storytelling and public speaking skills. You guys can go check out number 58 with Eric Edmides if you liked those clips. Number 3, prepare. In order to confidently public speak, you have to do some preparation. My best tip for preparing is to create an outline rather than a word-for-word script. Having a loose structure for your speech allows for flexibility. You're able to revise your stories on the spot, and you can also add some insight based on how the audience is responding to what you're saying. Memorizing a script word-for-word can come off really inauthentic and too rehearsed, while an outline will allow you to sound more fluid and natural. Once you have your outline together and you know what you want to say, practice, practice, practice. I can't stress this enough. Don't just read it. Practice it out loud. Practice it in front of a mirror. Reading it out loud will improve your memory of the material, whether it's in front of others or just by yourself. Rehearsing it repeatedly is in your best interest. Another trick that I have is to record yourself reading the material and then play it to yourself constantly while you're driving, while you're cleaning, while you're getting ready for the event. This is a great way to memorize your flow and get super familiar with the material while still being natural and not reading things word for word. And by the way, there's no such thing as being too prepared or practicing too much. Number 4, pay attention to body language. Body language is a factor in public speaking that many people don't think of right away. They're too busy preparing the words that they want to say that they forget to focus on what their body is doing while they're talking. Effective speaking doesn't only consist of the words that you say. It consists of 55% body language, 38% your voice, and only 7% is actually related to your content. You could be giving the most interesting speech in the world, but if you're speaking with your body hunched over or your head down, no one's going to listen. Your body language will give your audience constant, subtle clues about your inner state. If you're nervous or if you truly don't believe in what you're saying, the audience can sense that. So being aware is the first step. Try recording yourself giving a speech and then watch it back. In my episode with Lila Smith, she gave her take on the importance of body language and why recording yourself speaking can be an amazing tool.
So video is a really helpful tool. If you are presenting, get on video. It doesn't have to be like somebody else takes a fancy video. It's just for you to watch yourself. Mm. Be aware. You don't have to make eye contact with 7 people. You don't have to move your arms in and out from the center of your body. You don't have to take 5 steps in one direction and 10 steps in another. If you're thinking about that, then you're not thinking about what you're saying. So if you really want to be present, verb your values is really my direction. Watch yourself on video and ask yourself if you are communicating in a way that exemplifies your values.
Some people don't even realize that they're leaning on one leg or fidgeting, but videotaping yourself giving a speech will allow you to see what the audience will see. Another good tip my good friend and world-renowned human behavior expert Chase Hughes told me, who has been on the podcast a bunch of times, he told me that you should slow your pace down. He says fast means fear. So fast speech, fast movements, all of that is associated with fear. So you want to try to slow down your speech a bit, and you don't want to move faster than you would if you were underwater. So imagine being underwater and move in that slower type of way. Slow down your speech and you will appear more confident. You also need to pay attention to your audience's body language, not just your own. You have to pay attention to their body language as well. In episode number 8, Hacking Human Behavior with Chase Hughes, which by the way is a Yap classic and one of the most downloaded episodes that we've ever had, Chase gives some really cool insight on this topic.
So one thing that your listeners could take away right now is blink rate. This is how often, not how fast, but how often someone blinks. And the less often we blink, the more interested and absorbed we are in a conversation. So the last time you watched your favorite movie, a movie that you really liked, which like for me would be like Interstellar. When I watched Interstellar, my blink rate was probably between a 7 and a 12 blinks per minute. And if you think back to like when you took the math portion of your SATs, or you're taking a really hard exam in college, your blink rate can go up to like 55 per minute without you even noticing that there was a shift. So stress increases behavior. So does some kinds of discomfort. So like if you're on a date and the blink rate is really low, you don't have to count per minute. You just see whether or not it's speeding up, slowing down, whether or not it's slow or it's fast. So you shift conversation topics. And if you're a guy and you start talking about like how you change your transmission out on your car and all the process of how to do that, and you see the blink rate go up, yeah, it's time to change the subject. And as a public speaker, I speak to crowds of 200 or 300 on a regular basis. One thing that I do is I take a few people in the first two rows, and as I'm making eye contact, I'm taking the blink rate of the average of the room to measure the interest of everyone in the room. So as I'm moving around, I can see how often people are blinking because I'm making eye contact with people in the audience. I know when everybody's interested in the topic, I can keep going a little bit, or when I just need to kind of move forward.
So from here, you can pay more attention to what you're doing while you're talking. You also need to be able to pay attention to your audience. Stand up straight, take deep breaths, walk around, use gestures to engage your audience. And this energy and movement will come through in your voice, making it more active and more passionate. Number 5, think positive. Positive thinking can make a huge difference in just about any aspect of your life. We always talk about the law of attraction here on Yap, so I'm sure it's no surprise to you that this is my final tip. In order to successfully public speak, you first have to believe that you are capable of public speaking. If you're constantly telling yourself that you don't want to give this speech, or you're going to bomb your speech, or you're so bad at public speaking, you are going to believe yourself. Your brain can't tell the difference between a truth and a lie. This negative talk is going to work completely against you. Especially if you do this right before your speech, you're going to lower your confidence and you won't be able to perform at your highest ability. So even if you're the most nervous person out there, do not let the fear take over. Instead, visualize yourself giving a successful presentation. Imagine what that successful speech will look like. Visualize the crowd standing up and clapping for you. You can also use affirmations before your speech to get yourself in the right mindset. Say things like, I'm super grateful to have the opportunity to help my audience, or I'm going to crush this presentation, or this was the best presentation I ever did, and I'm the best public speaker in the world. Be ridiculous with your affirmations. Just be uber positive. You can also do positive affirmations with your body before your presentation with things like power posing. I'm going to let Dori Clark back from episode number 1, First Impressions, explain that one to you all.
So power posing became a very popular concept a few years ago as a result of Amy Cuddy's TED Talk. At the time, she was a Harvard Business School professor, very popular, well-known, wrote a book called Presence. And her talk has become one of the most popular and most watched ones in TED history. She described research that she and her colleagues did about so-called power posing, which is where you assume a posture of that's essentially a sending signals of dominance or power in some way. So there was the Superman, where you have your legs shoulder width apart, and you're flexing your biceps. There's the Wonder Woman, where you're again standing with a strong stance, and you have your arms crossed powerfully in front of you. So her research showed that if you hold a pose like that for 2 minutes, that there were demonstrable signs, both in terms of the participants' reported sense of feeling power and also in terms of neurochemicals that were being transmitted. So their levels of cortisol, the stress hormone, declined, and their levels of testosterone, which, you know, is tied to power and feelings of dominance or aggression, that increased. So that has become a very popular concept.
Young Improviters, I've been a full-time entrepreneur for about 4 years now, and I finally cracked the code on hiring. I look for character, attitude, and reliability. But it takes so much time to make sure a candidate has these qualities on top of their core skills in the job description. And that's why I leave it to Indeed to do all the heavy lifting for me. Indeed is the most powerful hiring platform out there, and I can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. With Yap Media growing so fast, I've got so much on my plate. And I'm so grateful that I don't have to go back to the days where I was spending hours on all these other different inefficient job sites, because now I can just use Indeed. They've got everything I need. According to US Indeed data, the moment Indeed sponsors a job, over 80% of employers get candidates whose resumes are a perfect match for the position. One of my favorite things about Indeed is that you only have to pay for applications that meet your requirements. No other job site will give you more mileage out of your money. According to Talent Nest 2019, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join the more than 3 million businesses worldwide who count on Indeed to hire their next superstar. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/profiting. Offer is good for a limited time. I'm speaking to all you small and medium-sized business owners out there who listen to the show. This is basically free money. You can get a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/profiting. Claim your $75 sponsored job credit now at Indeed.com/profiting. Again, that's Indeed.com/profiting, and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/profiting. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Overall, I think thinking positively, saying positive things, doing positive things with your body will not only raise your confidence level, but also raise the positive vibrations and the good energy that's going to allow you to succeed and engage with your audience during your speech. I know there are so many other helpful tips out there to get you better at public speaking, but these were my top 5 that have helped me personally and tremendously, and I know they're going to help you in your career. And I'll be honest with you, being great at public speaking is not just going to happen overnight. It takes practice. It might be weeks, months, or even years before you start to feel comfortable with it. But the thing is, you have to try. You have to put yourself out there. Public speaking is a skill worth learning and can lead to so much success down the road. So keep practicing, keep pushing yourself, keep getting out of your comfort zone. That's when you're really going to see success. And I hope you enjoyed this Yap Snacks about public speaking. Let me know how you feel about this episode. Drop us a 5-star review on Apple, CastBox, or Podbean. Take a screenshot of this app. Show me that you listened to this episode. Upload it to your Instagram story. Tag me at Yap with Hala. And let's chop it up in the DMs. I'd love to hear what you think about this episode. I'd love to know if you want to hear more Yap Snacks just like this. With that, this is Hala signing off. Until next time.